turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for our scripture reading this morning. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let us pray. O our kind and gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we join our hearts together this morning and we thank you for your blessed word that we've just read, how it speaks to our hearts and stirs us up. And Lord, we endeavor to lift up our Savior this morning in the reading and teaching of your word. For we know it speaks of him, his fullness and his completeness and his doing and dying, his satisfaction as our substitute. How we do thank you for him. May our eyes be drawn to him this morning. May our hearts be lifted up in admiration and praise and worship of him this morning. No one else is worthy, but he and he alone, our Lord Jesus Christ. We bow before Him. We anticipate His presence as we are gathered together to bless us and teach us. As we look at those things which are not seen, but they're eternal, they're lasting. Help us, Lord, and give us faith. Give us the ability to believe Your word, to trust Your Son, to fall prostrate at His feet, and continue to sue Him for mercy. And if we've not yet done so, may that today be the day that we fall down, lay down our arms of warfare, submit to Him, and cry out of the depths, "Lord, save me or I perish." Meet the needs of every heart and every home that's gathered here this morning. Lord, we look to You to provide every need. We're helpless and hopeless. We can do nothing. But You are almighty, and all power is in Your hand. And Your will shall be done, and Your purpose shall be fulfilled. And we bow before You in Your good providence. We pray for those that are sick, those that can't be with us. And remember our pastor and his wife as they travel home. Bring them back safe, we pray. Come and meet with us, Lord, and get Thyself honor and glory. And help us to worship in Christ's name. Amen. Love to hear that song. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I was thinking over the last day or so that I'm so thankful that we have a place to come and meet together like we do here this morning. We're doing here this morning, and we do three times a week. It's such a privilege, a blessed privilege, to be able to open God's Word and read it, hear it preached, sing about it, and pray unto our God. Our lives are so full of busyness and running to and fro, and we've got bills to pay and mouths to feed and houses to take care of and, you know, family and friends to take care of and tend to. Becomes taxing at times on our minds, on our hearts, on our energy. I wish it were not so much that way, but it is. What a blessing to be somewhat removed from that physically. We're all here physically. I hope God allows our minds and our hearts to be removed from it for just a few minutes. I'll not be long this morning, I don't believe. But when we read the Word and we hear the song sung like we just did, it does something to you. And there's nothing like gathering together. Our Lord has promised to meet with us when two or three are gathered in His name. And there's nothing like hearing the Word preached. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I mean, we should read our Bibles at home, and we do. We get blessings from that. But oftentimes we don't get at a scripture and at its meaning and what it means to us until we hear someone preach on it. So I'm thankful. And another thought that's been pressing on my mind, and as I prepare to stand before you today, that I'm a dying man preaching to dying men. As I look out on your faces this morning, I see some old, some young. And I know, I've lived long enough to know that we deal with a lot of things in this life. But we're dying, and all that we see, we talk about here, the things which we see are temporal. All that we see is being dissolved. It's fading away. You can see it if you can touch it. It's temporary. But this is a solemn thing to talk about eternal matters, to deal with the Word of God in regards to men's souls, and talk about salvation and sin and heaven and hell and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it weighs heavy on my heart this morning. And I hope God will allow each of us to hear from God as we study His Word. That's the only thing. This is the focus. Everything else is shut out. I pray that we can focus on what's before us. But I draw our attention this morning to our text we read a moment ago. Let's go back and read there at verse, beginning in verse 5. Paul says, "We preach not ourselves." What's a preacher to preach? Right there it is. "But we preach Christ Jesus the Lord," a person. "And ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." This is the reality of the life of a believer. You know, we sing the song, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul," in which there's a verse that says, "Hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past." And so it is. The life that we live is a storm. There are trials and troubles and afflictions and burdens. We're living through a mighty storm. And it's often a fierce storm. And it's often relentless. And many times, just as we descend a mighty wave of trouble, we see in front of us the next wave rising before us. And it picks us up and it swallows us up. And it throws us headlong into the deep, helpless to fight its powerful current and force. No power to deliver ourselves from it. And I know if you've lived very long, you know what I'm talking about. There was a time when I was a young man, I didn't know much about this. I guess I had a sheltered life. But I've lived long enough now to know some things about this. Many of you, most if not all of you, do as well, and have been in much deeper waters than I have ever been. But I know if you've lived very long, you know what I'm talking about. And if you're a believer, these types of things are common to all men. But if you're a believer, we experience troubles and perplexities and persecutions and being cast down beyond those troubles that all men experience, that come upon all men. For we experience something that's foreign to natural man. We experience the conflict and the trouble brought about by the two natures that lives within us, where inward sin troubles us. And it troubles us at every turn and in every situation. And it would destroy our peace. And it would take away our rest and assurance. And would ultimately cause us to despair and lose hope. That inward sin that the world knows nothing about. The struggle with the two natures. we as believers have a special trouble. It's called sin trouble. And the world has no problem with sin. But we have a problem with it, don't we? That inward sin. And it's not the sin that we see out there. There's lots of sin out in the world, and we see it. And we're troubled by it. And it saddens us. It's heartbreaking to see the sin that folks are involved in this world, and especially when it involves someone we love. It breaks our heart. And we're troubled about it. We're troubled from without, but we're more troubled from that which lies within us. You know, when we look at others and say, oh my, what an awful thing. There was a time I'd say, I would never do that. I would never act that way. But I'm starting to learn about myself a little bit. I find myself seeing that nature, that tendency in me. And I cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, Lord, keep me, deliver me from doing the very same thing. My heart is nothing but sin. That natural man, that natural heart, can do nothing but sin. There lies within us our mortal enemy. Our mortal enemy is within the camp. We have one within us that would forever destroy us, and it's in our own heart. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. We live with that. We deal with that. We struggle with that. In verse 8 and 9, let's read it again. We're troubled on every side, from without, from within, yet not distressed. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. We sometimes say, and I've said this, we don't know how folks get through the trials of life if we don't know Christ, if they don't know Christ. And that's right. Not only are they troubled, they're distressed. Not only are they perplexed, but they're in despair. No hope. How does a man get through the trials of life if they don't know Christ? He's not only troubled, but he's distressed. That means he's under pressure that won't let up. Sorrows without hope. My, oh my, that's a deep, dark place, isn't it? Not only perplexed, but in despair, forsaken by God, and soon to be destroyed. That man will resort to anything to relieve that distress and hopelessness they are in. And we see it all the time. We see them resort to many different things. Religion's one of them. And they go into deep, dark places and avoid the Scripture, avoid the Word of God, avoid preaching. They don't want to be faced with their hopelessness. But, oh, believer, troubled on every side, but not distressed, perplexed, don't understand everything, understand very little, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken of God, cast down, oh, we get cast down, don't we, but not destroyed. Not destroyed. Well, first thing, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want us to see some things about these troubles, these afflictions. these hardships, these pains. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, we read, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Those same afflictions are accomplished. That is to say, our afflictions, our hardship, our pain, it has a purpose. It's accomplishing something. It has an end. We often become distressed when a hardship or trouble comes upon us, and we question, why has this happened to me? And we wonder if we could have avoided it or how we can quickly get rid of it. How can I fix this? And there's no rest in that. There's no peace in that. No comfort in that thinking. And how foolish it is for us to try to comfort ourselves with our own thinking and our own devices and our own doing. But dear believer, there is rest in trials by remembering and knowing this first of all. It is your Heavenly Father that hath sent it with a good purpose and a good design for our good and for His glory. Rest in that, first of all. All things that come to you come from the hand of God. Rest in that, first of all. It's not that you messed up or I messed up. We probably did. But the first cause is God. Isaiah 45 verse 7 says this, and listen to this. Men don't believe this about God, but Isaiah 45 7 says, "I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." Do you believe that about God? The world doesn't. And I say this, if that's not so, well, let's just pack it in right now and go to the house. Because if you're dealing with something that God did not send or would not allow if He could, it's all over. And all that's left is despair. That's the truth. Rest in that. You're dealing with what you're dealing with. God sent it to you with a good design and a good purpose. But our text says we're perplexed. That doesn't mean we're not puzzled or perplexed or don't understand it. But we're not in despair. We're not in despair. This thing's not out of control. It's out of our control. It's not out of God's control. He could change your circumstance in the blink of an eye. But He doesn't. Turn over with me to 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." If it's necessary, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." If need be, you're in heaviness. And then look quickly back in our text, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It worketh. Our light affliction worketh for us. There's a purpose in it. It's working. It's accomplishing that for which God had sent it. The trials of the believer are sanctified unto us in that they help us. They instruct us. They correct us. They create faith in us. They strengthen faith. They encourage faith. The life of a believer is a life of faith. And God sends these trials to destroy everything we look to. He sends these trials to destroy everything we have pleasure in. He sends these trials to destroy our idols, to destroy all trust and confidence that we place in people, in things. And He's bringing us to the place that there is nowhere to look but Him, to Him, where He shows Himself a rock, a mighty rock in a weary land. The whole life of a believer is designed and meant to create faith, a life of faith. And we walk by faith, not by sight. Look back at 2 Corinthians 4 again in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has revealed to us the Lord Jesus Christ as all in all to God. He's all in all to God. And He's all in all to us as believers. But as I mentioned before, there's a but there. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We as earthen vessels cannot contain and hold God and absorb all that He is. God has so ordered it that the weaker the vessels are, the stronger His power may appear to be. For this reason, that the treasure itself should be valued the more. Our Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel, that's the treasure. We're weak. And we speak of the treasure, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we have faith and in whom we trust. What does man do? He speaks of his faith. My faith got me through. They talk about faith as if it's the act of a strong, holy, consecrated man. The act of faith is the act of a weak man who can't do anything for himself. It's the exact opposite. It's the act of a man who's fallen down before God. And God's put him in the dust. And all he can do is look to God in faith and sue for mercy. Faith's not a meritorious act. We're weak vessels, no strength, none whatsoever. Can't help ourselves. We cannot believe God. Isn't that a sad commentary on human nature? That a natural man cannot, will not, not only will not, but cannot believe God. Incapable of believing God. The life of God must be imparted to that soul that he by faith can lay hold upon eternal life in Christ the Savior. So, the treasure itself is what's to be valued. Turn over to Psalm 73. Let's look at that together. This speaks of the weakness of a man. The psalmist says here, my flesh, in verse 26, Psalm 73, 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Look over in 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 9. Here he's Paul speaking. He's talking. The Lord gave Paul a thorn in the flesh that he not be exalted above measure. And Paul said, I prayed three times, the Lord remove this from me. But the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength. It's made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weakness, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. We're weak, but in Him we're strong. My grace, the Lord told Paul, is sufficient. You're not sufficient. I'm not sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength, it's made perfect when you have no strength. Isn't that a blessed thought? Because I can identify with weakness. You know, in similar manner, how we see that Christ shines more brightly against the blackness of our nature, against what we are. He shines more brightly when we see Him in His beauty. So is His strength seen to be a perfect strength when our weakness is brought to light. The psalmist says in Psalm 42, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Psalm 37:24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He's our strength, and he upholds him with his hand. How often do we read in Scripture, be still and know that I am God. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Wait upon the Lord. How many times does the Scripture say, wait upon the Lord? You know, that's the hardest thing to do. To just wait. Cry out of the depths unto Him and wait. Wait. Wait for Him to deliver. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27 says, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh my. Proverbs 20 and verse 22 says, say not thou, I will recompense evil. I'll fix this. I'll restore this. I'll make restitution for this. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. The Lord is my salvation. He will come and will not tarry. He'll be right on time. Well, from whence does this help come? How do we avail ourselves of this help? From His Word. What He says. Look at John 14 with me, verse 25. Our Lord's about to go to the cross. And He says this to His disciples in beginning in verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. And look at this. He'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. That's where we get this peace, this assurance, this help from what He says. This is all we have. We don't speak to Christ face to face. We've never seen Christ. But He speaks to us through His Word. How do we avail ourselves of this help that He sends us? From His Word. Comfort, assurance, faith. All these things comes from what He says. And He gives us faith to believe what He says. And causes our spirit to witness with His Spirit as we read the Word of God. These things are true and faithful. And our God is true and faithful. And we're convinced of that. Because God has revealed Himself to us and taught us. He Himself has taught us. The Word of God is our only source of help. And we touched on this a while ago. The preached Word is the greatest means, for He's promised, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I. You believe that? God's here. He's here. He's promised that. We believe that because He said it. Not because we see something or we feel something. We may not feel anything. And thank God, none of this depends on our feelings. We believe God. God's to be believed. There's no question. Should be no hesitation. I understand what we are. But God's to be believed. He's God. Created all things. Upholds all things. Purposes all things. Bringing everything to pass for His glory and for the good of His people. Oh my, how often have you and I been blessed by the Word preached? All attend to the Word in private, but especially when God's people are gathered and we meet together with one heart, one mind, and the God-sent preacher opens the Word of God. And God sent this preacher, our pastor, many pastors. It's no small thing. And it's not something we should take for granted. How often have we been blessed by the Word preached? We sure have here, haven't we? Oh my, the preachers that we've heard, the preaching that we've heard. But we need to have, as our Lord said to His disciples, the Spirit will come and He'll bring to your remembrance. You're going to forget. You're going to get tied up in the world and the things that you see, and your flesh gets taken up with those things, and you start looking at yourself and doubting and become, you know, full of unbelief. We need to be reminded of God's promises, what God has said. And He said to us in His Word, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. For yet a little while, you're in the midst of trouble. We all are to one degree or another. He says, in a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. He's not tarrying. He'll come in his time. Well, there are sometimes great sorrows to be borne. I hope I'm not making light of trials and troubles and sorrows. Oh my, they're hard. I mean hard. And it brings with it a broken heart. And we're made to weep. And we are to weep and to mourn for such things. But we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Isn't that a blessing? You can sorrow with hope. Imagine sorrow without hope. What do you do? Just lay down and die. We have been begotten again unto a lively hope. And our heart lives in heaven. Our heart's in heaven. And it's not on earthly things. Shall our heart live upon that which shall be taken away? Oh my, the disappointment if we are. Remember, we read a minute ago, all that we see is temporary. Temporary. And the things that we don't see are eternal. Oh, let's not fix our heart on that which shall be taken away. Only a fool would do such a thing. But a man that doesn't believe God, that doesn't trust Christ, he is a fool. And I'll go as far as to say he's insane. And that's the truth. Regardless of what he is by nature and what he's able to do and not to do, a man that's outside of Christ is insane. And he's a fool. And he'll be shown to be a fool and insane when eternity comes. If our heart lives on earth, these losses make us rebel against God. It tells us a lot about where our heart is. They cause us to murmur. And to think that God deals hardly with us. I deserve better. I don't deserve this. And we often run to wrong means to escape from difficulties if our heart's on the things of earth. But we as believers whose hearts are in heaven, our heart is after heaven, longs for heaven, we by God's enabling must trust in the Lord and relying in sure confidence upon the faithfulness of our covenant God who has promised. And he said this, "Let not your heart be troubled." You're dealing with trouble. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Don't be afraid. Nothing to fear. They can't hurt you. The flame shall not hurt thee. We sang that a minute ago. Thy dross to consume, thy gold to refine. That's my purpose in these trials. If we're distressed and in despair and without hope, we're not looking to Christ. Where are you looking? Look unto me. Looking unto Jesus, the scripture says. Come unto me, our Lord says. I'll give you rest. You can rest in trials and troubles. You remember when Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, the scripture says, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And the scripture says this, and I'll read what it says. And immediately, not later on, but he let him go under a couple times. It said, immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Lord, save me. Cry unto him out of the depths and wait. He'll deliver. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Immediately. He'll lift up your heart. He may not remove that thorn in the flesh, like he told Paul, my grace. He'll come in his grace, and he'll reach out his hand and grab hold of you. Children of God, remember this. Oh, remember this. Help me to remember this, that things are not as they appear to be. What we see is not the way things are. I look at myself. God says of me in Christ, that man never sinned. I can't see that in me. Only by faith, based upon what God has said. I'm seated in Christ at the right hand of God, yet I stand here before you. Things are not as they appear to be with these physical eyes, but things are as God says they are. And that's what we believe. We believe what man cannot believe, what flesh cannot believe. We believe the unbelievable. But we're given faith to believe things as they are. And God tells us the reality of things. Hear this scripture. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I'm a son of God. Don't feel like it, don't look like it, don't act like it, don't smell like it. But we now are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I don't see it. But we know. We have faith. We believe God. We know this, that when he shall appear, we're going to be just like Christ. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, for a heart of faith that really, really believes God's word, that can lift me up in these troubles and trials, and not as they appear to be. Our text says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, only by faith can we see what we can't see. Only by God-given faith. And those things are eternal and lasting. And carry eternal weight. Well, I'm going to close with this. I said I wouldn't take too long. I hope I haven't taken too long. Let me say this. I must say this. It's a simple phrase that I love. It just does something to my heart when I hear there's a song called There Is a Redeemer. And that's what I want to say to you. There is a Redeemer. You know, it's a blessed thing for me as I think I need a Redeemer. There is one. There is a Redeemer. And he came willingly and gave himself a ransom as a sacrifice for sin. And I'm a sinner. That's why I need a Redeemer. Precious Lamb of God slain for sinners. God's own Son from the heart of God, from the bosom of God, sent into this world as a substitute. Only reason he came to die, to give his life. An offering for sin. And it's to him that I bid you this day to look to and be saved. Look, life in a look. There's life in a look. Look to him and be saved. And believer, it's to him I bid you to look to be kept. It's to him I bid you to look to endure. To be encouraged. To be strengthened. To be given faith. In your weakness and inability, lift up your eyes and behold the Savior, the blessed substitute for sinners. There's nothing else. To whom shall we go? He has the words of eternal life. Can you, by faith, see in him all that your soul needs? and all that your soul desires. God, make us that way. In Him, in Christ, our Redeemer, is all hope and all help. We cannot help ourselves. We have no strength. We're weak. We are unable to do anything to deliver ourselves from the trials of this life, much less deliver our souls from sin and death and hell. We're held captive by all these things, and we're in the hands of God. Go to Him. In Him is all hope. In Him alone is all help. And cease from your labor. Cease from your own righteousness. Give it up. Lay down your weapons of rebellion and enter into His rest in His blessed Son. Let's read a few verses and we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having seen him, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, we believe him, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We've received the end of our faith. It doth not yet appear, but we know when he shall appear, we'll be like him. We shall see him as he is. The end of our faith will be realized. I hope God is pleased to bless that to the hearts of his people. And he's been honored and glorified. Gary, come and lead us in a closing hymn.
Let's stand and sing a couple of stanzas of number 352. 352.